Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Can your savings weather an economic storm? There are very few physical assets you can invest in that are proven to stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia, and Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold that doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Text COAST to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Text COAST to 989898 and secure your savings today.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back. George Norrie with you. John Rappaport with us. John, so are you saying that, first of all, this virus, whatever it may be, was concocted probably in a laboratory?
No, I'm not. Because if it was concocted in a laboratory, it's not that people are not trying to do this. But the weaponizers of germs in labs are faced with an enormous challenge, which they well understand, but many other people don't, and that is that viruses are intrinsically very unstable, and they mutate extremely rapidly.
Exactly.
So even if you began, researchers might say, okay, well, we have this super-duper virus here, and we're going to unleash it on the world, the effect would be completely unpredictable because of the mutation rate. So therefore, you could end up, let's say, killing 100 people or half the planet, if you wanted to speculate about what might happen. That gives you a completely absurd scenario. The real scenario that is effective and produces exactly what we have now, which is horrendous in terms of economic destruction, is you tell a story about a virus. You don't really do the proper scientific steps to prove that you ever discovered a new virus in the first place, but you say you do. You say, oh, we discovered this unique coronavirus, which is very deadly, even though all the other coronaviruses are just that cause a common cold or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in telling the story and then using a diagnostic test, which is completely useless but allows you to multiply case numbers, you corral many people under this umbrella term called COVID-19. Most of them are elderly. They're already in serious health trouble. They come into hospitals and so on and so forth. They make up the overwhelming number of statistics in mortality rate and so forth. Now you have the picture of a vast pandemic that is scaring everybody, and the publicity is wall to wall, and now you can lock down the populations and you can create this devastation that we are being visited with right now.
And it's conceivable then that these people who are dying, most of them could be dying from the normal flu, which is seasonal anyway.
Exactly. And if you start looking at flu-like illness statistics around the world, they're absolutely enormous. I keep writing them down because they keep changing. But I mean, If you want to look at Italy, the last several years, the annual flu cases, they estimate, is 5.3 million per year in Italy. 5.3 million per year in Italy, and 22,000 deaths, they say.
Which is huge.
Gigantic. And that's just in Italy alone, so you start extrapolating that out to the rest of the world.
Well, what I said, John, when this first started, when we started hearing about it, my complaint was with the major media creating the hysteria. Now, you tell me if I'm correct here. What I said back in December, January, was not once in my career have I ever heard a major media outlet report on the seasonal death flus on a daily basis for any flu that we've had. And the fact that, you know, they would say three people have died from the coronavirus. I'm saying 200 may have died today from the normal flu. So my whole issue was the hysteria the media was creating from this. Was I right?
Absolutely, George. That's absolutely right, and you and I have actually discussed this before when we were talking about swine flu and SARS and,
yep,
so forth and so on. So if you consider the enormous numbers that we're talking about of people every year, this is not just one time, but every year who have these flu-like illnesses which have completely overlapping symptoms with what they're calling COVID-19 now, and the deaths and so forth, you would say, well, okay, well, let's see, the CDC and World Health Organization, they ought to be declaring a pandemic every year, right? I mean, that's what they're doing now with COVID-19, what they're calling COVID-19. So you would say, well, every year they ought to be doing this and locking down the planet, canceling all events,
mm-hmm,
and just devastating the economies, but they never mention it. They never talk about it. As you say, the media never report on it. All they do is say, get the flu vaccine, and that's about it. And that is the obvious comparison to make and exposes the gigantic lie. So it's very, very easy to move over all of these flu cases into the COVID category and all the pneumonia cases, that's another gigantic number of people on the planet that you can move into this category and say, well, it's COVID-19. And then you have the appearance and the story of a gigantic pandemic.
Yes.
And then the public health people at the World Health Organization and the CDC are ready this time to do much more than they've ever done in the past, which is, okay, so now we're going to torpedo all the economies of the world.
And I think also, John, that people who normally would not have gone to the hospital with the flu, they just would have stayed home and battled it. They're all going in now. I talked to a doctor in St. Louis, and I said, what's it like in the hospital right now? He said, it's a zoo. I've never seen it this busy. But I said, but during the seasonal flu, do you get a lot of people that come in too? And he said, oh, yeah, we do. So I think what's happening, and this fits your thoughts, that everybody who is getting sick now, they think they have the COVID-19, and they're panicking.
Exactly. I put up an article about a week ago because I said to myself, okay, so let's look at, say, 2018, what was happening in hospitals around the United States. I found an article from Time magazine that basically said, hospitals are overflowing in all 50 states. This was 2018,
jeez,
right, from flu. And they cited examples of one hospital and state after another, and the doctors are out there putting up tents in the parking lot to treat people. And it's like if you just erase the date and you just changed it to 2020, you would say, well, those are the stories that I'm reading in the mainstream press now about this. Yeah, exactly. Exactly the point. You're absolutely right. All these people are now coming into the hospitals because they're terrified that in addition to ordinary seasonal flu, they have the dreaded epidemic disease.
I saw somebody sneeze in the grocery store today, not on any food. He just sneezed, and people ran away like he had the plague. It's incredible. Well, let me ask you this, though. Is there a COVID-19 virus? Is there a new virus out there?
As far as I'm concerned, and chapter and verse on this is in my articles, we don't need to go into all the details. They
right.
never use the proper procedure to say we discovered a new virus. They said they did, but the tests that you're supposed to run in any sophomore in a science class at college could tell you, you've got to really establish this. If you're going to say we have a new virus that's going to cause us to lock down half the planet, you better really prove that you found it. I see no such evidence in the literature that they did the work necessary to establish that at all, period.
Now, here's something that's puzzling me, and maybe this is because it was never reported before with the seasonal flu. But it seems that first responders and medical practitioners seem to be getting this virus, whatever it may be, and they're getting sick and some of them dying. My question to you is, was that still happening with the seasonal flu? We just never heard about it before.
Well, it could very well be, because you don't see these cases. These are the outlier cases that people will always bring up, and they'll say, well, what about the three doctors who died here, or the two hospital workers, and so on and so forth? Explain that. I say, well, I'm not there. I haven't seen the patient records. I don't know what these people may have been suffering from before this ever happened. Who knows? And yes, this could have happened last year, the year before, never reported in the press. And so it was unnoticed until now.
And until now. Yeah.
It's played up fantastically.
And that's the same with people wearing masks. I mean, with the normal flu, minimal people wore masks last year, the year before that. Now, half the people you look at are wearing masks.
Yes, and in New York, in the empty streets, they're walking down the middle of the street at great distances from each other to avoid any possibility of contact. Now we get into the motivations that I see behind this whole thing, which have to do with enacting hostility, suspicion among people against each other, divide and conquer in a really, really vicious way.
Yes. Yes.
It's just unbelievable.
Who benefits, John? And at what point did somebody concoct, if this theory is correct about destroying world economies, who benefits and what's the game plan?
To me, there are many levels, of course, of benefits that you could enumerate. You know, you could say a pharmaceutical company is going to make a fortune on the vaccine, antiviral drugs, and blah, blah, blah. But when you go higher and higher on the ladder of control, which is what this is all about, it's apparent to me that this is an attempt to usher in a new world, a new kind of world of technocracy, which, in other words, is to say, we had this great shock to the global system. There was, before the pandemic, BP, and after the pandemic, AP, and this marks the end of what we used to know as history. We're never going to go back to the way it was before. This is the kind of propaganda you're already hearing, and we'll hear more of. We have to build a new world. What kind of world? An engineered world. A world, of course, of wall-to-wall surveillance, because we have to detect diseases early before they really spread and happen. We're going to have smart cities. We're going to have the Internet of Things.
Mandatory vaccines. That's going to happen.
Yes. Many, many, many vaccines and new technologies of vaccines. For example, DNA vaccines, as they're called, which, as I've written, permanently change the genetic makeup of the recipients who take the vaccine.
What would happen, John, if the president said tomorrow, I have talked to the 50 governors of the United States, and I am immediately implementing, and they have all agreed to go back to opening up our businesses, our schools, our churches, because some churches are shutting down now, too. You can't go and worship. But we're opening up everything, and we're going back to the way it was. What would happen?
question that I've been posing all along. First of all, he would be, and he knows this, would be, I mean, if you think the attacks on him so far in his presidency were vicious, that would be nothing. That would be a Sunday picnic compared to what would come down on his head, and he knows it. But the overall effect, as far as I'm concerned, would be positive, extremely positive, because what would be revealed is, as Anthony Fauci said back in February in the New England Journal of Medicine before he decided to change his tune once again, this is akin to a severe flu season.
Yes. It's the flu on steroids. That's what I call it.
Right. And so you would see a typical flu-like illness, severe season in the U.S. and in other countries. The country would survive. The economy would survive. It would come back. And overall, it would be an extremely positive effect. I mean, for example, what's happening in India now, with the lockdowns there, you and in other countries where you have gigantic numbers of people that live in extreme poverty, you're talking about cutting these people off from food. You're talking about no way. It's not like, oh, we're going to give everybody a check, you know, a digital check.
No, I mean, it's crazy.
Going to die.
It's crazy. And again, 650,000 people worldwide die from the seasonal flu every year. 650,000 people. If they would have said today, 650,000 people have just died from COVID-19, people would be panicking. But that's where they're headed. That's what they want to say.
That's what they want to say. And also keep in mind, as you just pointed out, that 650,000 figure, that's every year. That's
every year, year after year.
Clockwork, every year, every year. So imagine if that were the story being told about COVID-19, you would have people trying to burrow down to the center of the earth to hide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody would be sleeping with masks on.
Exactly.
It's really crazy, John. But my biggest concern is we're coming close to a breaking point. I can feel it. With people who have to go back to work again. They have to start earning money. They can't live the way that they've been living over the past several weeks. That's got to change. Will it change?
That does. I don't know if it's going to change, but it has to change. Absolutely.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.